Welcome to the Quarterly Briefing, where we take a closer look at the financial stories behind the world's biggest public companies, powered by AI to make it smarter, faster, and more engaging. Our goal is to make financial data more accessible by demystifying the complexities of corporate finance and informing people about the dynamics of today's markets. This podcast is not financial advice. It's for entertainment and educational purposes only. If you're curious about how companies grow, stumble, or pivot in today's fast-paced markets, you're in the right place. This is The Quarterly Briefing, where AI meets numbers and numbers meet narrative.
Welcome to the Deep Dive. Today, we're going to be cracking open MasterCard's 3Q 2024 Form 10Q.
Ah, the 10Q.
But this isn't just about, you know, like looking at their balance sheet or their income statement.
Right.
We're going to be talking about kind of a peek behind the curtain of how money moves around the world.
Yes.
What kind of challenges a giant like MasterCard is facing.
Yeah.
And what they're doing to stay ahead of the game.
It's fascinating to me how much these filings reveal beyond just the profit and loss. It's like a map of the financial landscape, showing us where things are going, both for MasterCard and for the way we all use money in the future.
Exactly. And let me tell you, there were some seriously interesting things that jumped out at us while we were reading this thing.
Oh, yeah.
We're talking stock buybacks worth billions.
Billions with a B.
Billions. Like, seriously, billions.
Wow.
A Department of Justice investigation and potential legal settlements that, well, let's just say they're numbers that would make anyone's head spin.
Those are certainly attention-grabbing details, and they raise some important questions about the pressures and opportunities MasterCard is facing.
Absolutely. Okay, let's start with the basics. MasterCard's financial performance for 3Q 2024. Top-line revenue, up a healthy 13%, hitting $7.369 billion for the quarter.
Not bad.
You might be thinking, okay, that's great, they're making money, but hold on. Their expenses are also up, and not just a little bit, a whole 25%. So we need to figure out what's driving both of those numbers.
And of course, the big question for any investor is, what about the profit? MasterCard brought in a net income of $3.263 billion. To make sense of that, we need to compare it to previous quarters, and most importantly, look at the earnings per share.
Right, because that earnings per share figure is what really tells the story of how much each share of MasterCard stock earned during the quarter.
Yeah.
It's a key metric that investors use to evaluate the company's profitability and its potential for future growth. But let's go beyond just the top-level numbers and really unpack what's going on here. The 10Q breaks down MasterCard's revenue into two buckets. Revenue from their payment network, that's when you swipe your card at a store, and revenue from value-added services, which are things like data analytics, security solutions, and consulting that they provide to businesses.
Ah, interesting.
And looking at those two segments, we see that both experienced growth but value-added services stood out with an 18% increase compared to the payment network's 10% growth.
Okay, so that's a pretty significant difference. What does that tell us about MasterCard's strategy?
It suggests that MasterCard is looking beyond just processing payments. They're strategically expanding into areas with higher profit margins and becoming more of a full-service partner for businesses looking to navigate the complexities of today's digital economy.
It's like they're not just facilitating transactions, they're becoming a vital part of how businesses operate.
Exactly. Now let's circle back to those rising expenses we mentioned earlier. The 10Q breaks them down further into marketing, personnel, and general and administrative expenses, which are sometimes called G&A. So the question is, are these expenses a sign of strategic investment, or are they a cause for concern?
Well, that's a great question, and the answer likely lies somewhere in between. Increased spending on marketing and personnel could suggest that MasterCard is actively pursuing new markets and building out its capacity, especially in those high-growth areas like value-added services, which aligns with the strategic shift we just talked about. However, we also need to pay close attention to the G&A costs. If those are rising disproportionately, it could point to inefficiencies or overspending that might raise a red flag for investors.
It's like a balancing act, right? And they need to invest to grow, but they also need to keep an eye on the bottom line. Now let's dive into some of those attention-grabbing specifics we mentioned earlier, starting with the stock buybacks. MasterCard has been buying back a ton of its own stock, $7.565 billion worth just this quarter. That's a massive amount of money. Can you help us understand the reasoning behind these buybacks and what they signal to the market?
Sure. Buybacks can be a complex topic, and there are definitely differing opinions about their benefits. On one hand, when a company buys back its stock, it reduces the number of shares outstanding, which can boost earnings per share and potentially increase the value of the remaining shares. This often makes investors happy, at least in the short term. On the other hand, some argue that the money spent on buybacks could be better used for things like research and development, expanding into new markets, or acquiring other companies' activities that could drive long-term growth.
So a bit of a trade-off. Do you prioritize boosting the share price in the short term, or do you invest for future growth?
It's a tough call. There's no one-size-fits-all answer. It really depends on a company's specific circumstances, its industry, its overall financial health, and its long-term goals. In MasterCard's case, they clearly have a lot of cash on hand, and they seem to be signaling confidence in their future prospects by using some of that cash to buy back their shares. Whether that's the best use of their capital is a question that analysts and investors will continue to debate.
It's certainly something to keep an eye on. Now, here's another intriguing detail from the 10Q that caught our attention. MasterCard's investment portfolio seems to be shifting. They've decreased their holdings of marketable securities, think stocks and bonds that are easily traded, and they've increased their non-marketable securities, which are investments that are harder to sell quickly. What insights can you offer about this shift?
This is where things get really interesting. This shift away from easily traded assets suggests that MasterCard might be looking for more long-term strategic investments, potentially in areas that are not publicly traded. Non-marketable securities could include things like private equity or venture capital investments in up-and-coming fintech companies.
So it's like they're making bets on the future of finance, not just playing the stock market.
Exactly. And these investments could give MasterCard a way to shape the future of the industry by supporting innovation and potentially gaining access to cutting-edge technologies. It's a much more proactive approach than simply buying and selling publicly traded stocks.
It sounds like they're playing a long game here, thinking about where the world of payments is heading and trying to position themselves for success. Okay, one last detail before we move on, and this one is a bit of a doozy. Remember that estimated settlement exposure I mentioned earlier?
Oh, yeah.
Well, it's a jaw-dropping $76.524 billion. That's a B for billion. Can you help us make sense of this number and what it actually means for MasterCard?
That's certainly a number that grabs your attention. It's important to understand that this figure represents the total potential liability that MasterCard faces across a range of legal and regulatory challenges. It includes everything from the ongoing legal battles over interchange fees, which we'll delve into later, to antitrust investigations and consumer class action lawsuits.
So it's not like they're writing a check for $76 billion tomorrow, right?
Exactly. It's not an immediate expense. It's more of a worst-case scenario figure. It's like a big warning sign that says, hey, there's a lot of potential legal trouble out there, and it could cost us a lot of money. MasterCard is acknowledging these potential exposures as part of their risk management strategy. They're being transparent about the challenges they're facing and the potential financial impact.
Transparency is good, but that number is still a bit unsettling. So what are they doing to actually mitigate these risks and potentially reduce their liability?
Well, the 10Q outlines various risk mitigation arrangements they've put in place. These include things like requiring certain customers to post collateral, essentially a financial guarantee, setting credit limits to manage their exposure to potential defaults, and diversifying their customer base to avoid being overly reliant on any single client or industry.
It sounds like they're trying to cover all their bases and be as prepared as possible for whatever comes their way. It makes you realize just how complex and challenging it is to run a business on a global scale, especially in an industry that's constantly evolving like payments.
Absolutely. It's like navigating a ship through constantly shifting tides and currents. You need to be aware of the risks, have a solid plan, and be ready to adjust course when needed.
And in MasterCard's case, they seem to be doing just that. They're investing in growth, managing risks, and keeping an eye on the horizon. But they're also facing some significant headwinds, particularly in the legal arena. We'll dig into those challenges in more detail in just a moment.
I'm looking forward to unpacking those legal battles and discussing what they mean for MasterCard and the future of payments.
Stay with us. MasterCard is facing some choppy seas when it comes to legal and regulatory challenges.
That's one way to put it. The 10Q goes into a lot of detail about the lawsuits and investigations they're dealing with. Let's start with what seems to be a never-ending story, interchange fees. This time, it's merchants in the UK claiming over 1 billion TAOs, that's about $1.3 billion in damages. Can you give us some context on this issue and explain what's at stake for MasterCard?
Sure. Interchange fees have been a point of contention between merchants and card networks like MasterCard and Visa for decades. These fees are charged to merchants every time a customer uses a card to make a purchase. Merchants argue that these fees are too high and stifle competition, while MasterCard maintains that they are necessary to cover the costs of maintaining a secure and reliable global payments network. This particular case in the UK focuses on interchange fees for commercial cards. Merchants allege that MasterCard's fees were inflated, causing them significant financial harm. This case is part of a broader trend of legal challenges to interchange fees worldwide. The outcome of these cases could have a significant impact on MasterCard's revenue and potentially reshape the economics of the entire payments industry.
So these aren't just isolated disputes. They represent a fundamental challenge to how MasterCard makes money. And it's not just happening in the UK. The 10Q also mentions a Department of Justice investigation here in the US focusing on MasterCard's debit card program and potential antitrust violations. What exactly is the DOJ looking at here?
Antitrust laws are designed to promote competition and prevent companies from engaging in practices that unfairly limit consumer choice or stifle innovation. In this case, the DOJ is likely scrutinizing MasterCard's debit card program to see if it creates barriers to entry for other payment networks or technologies. They'll be examining things like exclusivity agreements with banks, pricing practices, and any actions that might make it difficult for new players to compete in the debit card market. The goal is to ensure a level playing field where consumers benefit from a variety of payment options and fair pricing.
It sounds like the DOJ is taking a close look at whether MasterCard is wielding its considerable market power in a way that harms competition. If they find MasterCard guilty of any violations, what kind of consequences are we talking about?
The penalties for antitrust violations can be quite severe. We're talking potential fines, mandated changes to their business practices to address the anti-competitive behavior, or even structural remedies that could force MasterCard to divest or spin off certain parts of its business. Antitrust cases can drag on for years and be very costly, even if the company ultimately prevails.
It's definitely a high-stakes situation for MasterCard. And on top of the government investigations, they're also facing consumer class action lawsuits, like the one in Portugal, where consumers are seeking $0.4 billion in damages. What are the main claims in these consumer lawsuits?
These lawsuits generally allege that inflated interchange fees are ultimately passed on to consumers in the form of higher prices for goods and services. The argument is that if MasterCard had set lower, more competitive interchange fees, merchants would have paid less in fees, and those savings would have been passed on to consumers. It's essentially a trickle-down economics argument applied to the payments industry.
So these lawsuits are saying that what starts as a dispute between MasterCard and merchants ends up hitting consumers right in their wallets. These legal challenges definitely paint a picture of a company that's under fire from multiple directions. But the 10Q isn't all doom and gloom. It also gives us a glimpse into how MasterCard is managing risk in a complex and rapidly changing financial environment. And that's where things get really intriguing.
Absolutely. One of the key tools that MasterCard uses to manage its financial risks is something called derivatives. They use these financial instruments to hedge against fluctuations in currency exchange rates and interest rates, which can have a big impact on their profitability.
Derivatives have a bit of a reputation for being complex and even risky. Can you break it down for us and explain why they're important for a company like MasterCard?
Think of derivatives as a kind of financial insurance policy. Let's say MasterCard expects to receive a large payment in euros from a European merchant in a few months. If the euro weakens against the US dollar between now and then, MasterCard will lose money when it converts those euros back into dollars. To protect itself from this risk, MasterCard might enter into a derivative contract that essentially locks in a favorable exchange rate. This way, even if the euro drops in value, MasterCard is shielded from the loss.
So it's like a way to smooth out the bumps in the road caused by currency fluctuations. But derivatives themselves can be risky too, right? We've all heard stories about derivatives blowing up and causing financial meltdowns.
You're right. There's always a degree of risk with any financial instrument, and derivatives are no exception. They can be complex, and if they're not used properly, or if the risks aren't fully understood, they can backfire. But when used strategically and within a robust risk management framework, derivatives can be a valuable tool for companies operating in global markets where currencies and interest rates are constantly fluctuating.
It's like a high wire act. They're using these sophisticated tools to manage risk, but they have to be very careful not to slip. Now, here's another aspect of MasterCard's risk management that I found interesting. They have to guarantee billions of dollars in transactions between their customers, banks, merchants, and consumers. But what happens if one of those customers defaults or fails to make a payment? What's MasterCard doing to protect itself from those kinds of risks?
That's a critical point. MasterCard acts as a kind of intermediary, ensuring that funds flow smoothly between different parties in a transaction. This role comes with the inherent risk that someone might not fulfill their financial obligations. To mitigate this risk, MasterCard has a system of risk mitigation arrangements.
What exactly are risk mitigation arrangements? It sounds pretty serious.
They're a set of procedures and safeguards that MasterCard uses to reduce its exposure to potential losses. These can include things like requiring customers to post collateral, essentially a financial guarantee, setting credit limits to control how much credit they extend to each customer, and diversifying their customer base to avoid being overly reliant on any single client or industry. By spreading their risk across a wide range of customers and implementing these safeguards, MasterCard is trying to protect itself from the domino effect that could occur if a major customer were to default.
It's like a carefully constructed web of safety nets designed to catch them when something goes wrong. But there's another type of risk that's not explicitly mentioned in the 10Q, but is always a concern for a company like MasterCard: reputational risk.
Reputational risk is a major factor, especially in today's interconnected world where news travels fast and public opinion can shift rapidly.
One negative headline, one viral social media post, and a company's carefully cultivated image can be tarnished in an instant. And for a company like MasterCard, whose business relies heavily on trust and consumer confidence, reputational risk is something they have to manage very carefully. Based on what we've discussed so far, what are some of the reputational risks that MasterCard is facing?
Well, the legal and regulatory challenges we've been discussing, particularly those involving interchange fees and antitrust allegations, can certainly damage MasterCard's reputation if they're perceived as acting unfairly, engaging in anti-competitive practices, or prioritizing profits over the interests of consumers and merchants. It can erode trust and lead to negative media coverage. Data breaches are another significant reputational risk. MasterCard handles vast amounts of sensitive financial data, so any security lapse, any unauthorized access to that data, could result in a public relations nightmare and long-lasting damage to their brand. Consumers need to feel confident that their information is safe and secure when they use their MasterCard, and any breach of that trust can have far-reaching consequences.
It's a delicate balance. They need to be innovative and competitive, but they also need to act ethically and maintain the highest standards of security and data protection. And as we've seen, they're facing pressure from all sides, governments, merchants, consumers, even competitors, to find that balance.
It's a dynamic and complex landscape, and the stakes are incredibly high. MasterCard's success hinges on their ability to adapt, innovate, and manage these multifaceted risks effectively. They need to find ways to address the concerns of regulators and consumers, stay ahead of the curve in terms of technology and security, and maintain a strong brand reputation that resonates with people around the world.
It's a lot to juggle.
Hmm?
So after digging deep into this 10Q filing, what's a big takeaway for our listeners? We've gone beyond the headlines and the surface-level numbers to understand the forces shaping MasterCard's business and, by extension, the global payments landscape. You now have insights into their financial performance, strategic investments, legal risks, and the complex world of financial risk management.
What I find particularly fascinating is how MasterCard is actively shaping the future of money. They're not just reacting to changes, they're investing in emerging technologies, partnering with innovative startups, and trying to position themselves at the forefront of the digital revolution in finance. It's a fascinating case study in how a legacy company can stay relevant and even thrive in a rapidly evolving industry.
And here's a final provocative thought for you to ponder. MasterCard is heavily involved in shaping the future of money. What emerging technologies or trends do you think will have the biggest impact on their business in the years to come? Is it the rise of digital currencies, the expansion of mobile payments, or something completely unexpected that's just over the horizon? Let us know what you think.
Thanks for joining us on this deep dive. Until next time, stay curious.
And keep learning. It really is a high wire act for a company like MasterCard. They're dealing with these massive legal and reputational challenges while also trying to innovate and stay ahead in such a rapidly changing industry.
Well, it's a testament to how complex the business world is today, right? There are no easy answers, and every decision comes with its own set of risks and rewards.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
So after spending all this time with this 10Q, what are some of the key takeaways for our listeners?
I think the biggest takeaway is that even for a company as large and successful as MasterCard, there's no such thing as smooth sailing.
Right.
They are constantly navigating this complex web of challenges, from competitive pressures to regulatory scrutiny to technological disruptions. And their success really hinges on their ability to adapt and make strategic decisions when faced with so much uncertainty.
Yeah, it's a reminder that the business world is dynamic, it's unpredictable, and even the biggest players have to be nimble and strategic to stay ahead.
Couldn't agree more. I think another important takeaway here is the importance of transparency. I mean, MasterCard could have easily downplayed the legal challenges they're facing or glossed over some of the potential risks in their 10Q filing, but they chose to be upfront about these issues, and ultimately that builds trust with investors and the public.
Transparency is definitely becoming more and more important, especially in an age where information spreads so quickly and consumers are increasingly demanding accountability from the companies they do business with.
Exactly. And I think a final takeaway here is that MasterCard is actively shaping the future of money. They're not just sitting back and waiting for things to happen. They're investing in new technologies, exploring new business models, partnering with these really innovative companies to really stay in the forefront of this digital revolution in finance.
Yeah, it's exciting to see a company like MasterCard embracing innovation and really pushing the boundaries of what's possible in the world of payments.
Yeah.
It'll be interesting to see how these trends play out over the years to come and what role MasterCard will play in shaping the future of money.
For sure.
Well, we've covered a lot of ground today, from MasterCard's financial performance to their strategic investments to the legal and reputational challenges they're facing. It's been a fascinating deep dive into the inner workings of this global financial giant.
Well, thank you for guiding us through this complex landscape. It's been a pleasure sharing these insights with our listeners.
And to our listeners, we hope this deep dive has given you a better understanding of all the forces that are shaping the payments industry and the challenges and opportunities facing a company like MasterCard.
Remember, stay curious.
And keep learning.
This is The Quarterly Briefing, a W Section podcast production. This podcast was generated completely with AI. If you like the podcast, please give us a like and tell your friends. If you have feedback or different companies you would like us to include in a future episode, please send us an email at idea@quarterlybriefing.com. Thank you for listening.